Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. We just want to read some of the closing verses of this chapter and then into the next one. Chapter 18 of Luke's Gospel, please, beginning at the words of verse 35. Let's hear the word of God, Luke chapter 18, verse 35. Came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Ending at verse 10 of chapter 19. And we know the Lord will add his own divine blessing upon his own precious and infallible word. Let me turn you back to Luke chapter 19. We've entitled our message, Christ's Purpose in Salvation. Let's just unite our hearts together in a word of prayer before we come to the preaching of God's precious word tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee again for the congregation that is assembled to worship thee. We thank the Lord for the volume of praise that ascends. And Lord, we are so conscious that today many of a heart has time for business and time for pleasure. And time for this, that, and the other, even on the Lord's day. But a little time for God. And we ask, Lord, that thou would come and deal with hearts. Lord, we recognize that even that which we've been singing, the sinner cannot open their heart's door of themselves. But it needs God's grace. It needs God's Spirit. Lord, we pray that thou would bring a soul to that place tonight. I pray that thou would close us in with this passage. Give us understanding. Oh, Lord, move amongst us. Single out that heart, that soul that's not right. Whether young or older, Lord, we pray that thou would have thine own way this evening. I pray for the infilling of thy Spirit tonight to preach as thus. And thus saith the Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of late, we've been looking at some of the very simple gospel texts that are found throughout the New Testament scriptures. That doesn't mean, of course, that there are not great truths behind such verses. But they are stated in very simple words that even the most ignorant or the very smallest can understand them. That is also the case when we're brought to consider the passage that is before us. It is one which involves the appearance of Christ in the city of Jericho. And of course, if you know anything of the Old Testament, you will know that Jericho is synonymous as being the city of the curse, as it was revealed in the Old Testament books. But you see, men and women, Christ came to overthrow the curse, to overthrow the curse due to man's sin. And ultimately, that would mean him going to the cross of Calvary to become a curse for us. For cursed is he that hangeth on the tree. But ere he ever got there, he was to pass through the city of Jericho, and that for a good reason. For there Christ was to meet a man, and that man would never be the same again. Mind you, not everyone was joyful about this meeting. For if you take a little look, a little glance at the words of verse 7, you will see that there was opposition to it. It says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. It was a murmuring at the actions of the Savior. You see, there's always opposition when Christ is seen to be at work. This was no exception. The opposition in this instance came from the religious leaders. But then, that of course is also something that is not new. If you turn back to chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel, we sang a hymn that was based on this very chapter earlier on this evening. You look at the verse 2, it says, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Again, the same word is used. Again, it is the Pharisees and the scribes who murmured then as well. You know, we're thankful tonight that Christ does receive sinners. For if he didn't receive sinners, then we'd have no message to proclaim. And in the passage before us, he was being accused of going to be a guest in this man's house. The man in question is the one whom we're introduced to at the beginning of the chapter. He is Zacchaeus. What do we know about Zacchaeus is that he was a Jew, we understand that, but he was one who worked for the Roman authorities as a tax collector. We are also given a little added detail that Zacchaeus was a very rich man. But be careful, because the Holy Ghost does not say anywhere in God's Word that this man was rich because he was guilty of theft. Doesn't say that. But further to that, he was also a chief among the publicans. He was one who had climbed up into the position of authority where they were concerned. And of course, Luke chapter 18 has already given us an insight into another publican, one who couldn't so much as lift his eyes heavenward, but he beat upon his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The outworking of the visit of Christ to the city was that Zacchaeus already had God's Spirit working in him. For we learn that he had a desire to see Jesus. We read that in the words of verse 3. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. And I want to remind you, men and women, that is something that does not happen of itself. Just as we've been singing that hymn during the offering, we cannot open the heart's door without God's Spirit already working on our heart. And here's a man who sought to see Christ. And that was something not of himself, not something placed by some other man, nor by the will of man, but it was an indication of God at work in the heart of Zacchaeus. And through this, we're brought to consider Christ's purpose in salvation. As I draw you to the words particularly of verse 5 and 6, although we'll touch on some of the other verses as well. I want you to notice, first of all, the reaction here. It may have seemed that to Zacchaeus that he was in control of all things. He was going to be one who would get to that vantage point in order to see the Savior as he passed along that way. I know where he's going to be walking. I'm going to know there's a tree there. I know where I can climb up into that tree. I'm in control of this. But you know, we soon learn it was the other way around. For it was the Lord who knew where he was to be found. And the Lord came and he stopped at that tree. And so we find from verse 5 that the Lord stopped and he looked up and he was to call unto Zacchaeus. Read it. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And therein we see the reaction of Christ was one of readiness. He was ready to call unto this man who had planted himself up a tree. But understand that his call was not merely a physical call. It was a call that ought to be considered as being of a spiritual nature, of a spiritual manner. He was calling this man unto himself. The Lord always has a purpose in being in a certain place. The blind man already had known the benefits of his coming toward Jericho. That's why we read back into the previous chapter. That blind man was on that road as the Lord came in, and now as the Lord is leaving Jericho, the same is true of this man also. It was planned from eternity past that the Lord would meet with these men. There was a readiness of the Savior to call souls unto himself. There's a readiness to heal those who were afflicted. There's a readiness for the Lord to cause the blind to see. And that was a truth that he expressed right from the beginning of his earthly ministry when he was called by the preacher in the synagogue to open the Scripture and to read it unto them. Go back and see it for yourself. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 4. The words of verse 17. And there was delivered unto him, that is unto Christ, the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And here Christ is engaging in that very ministry. In a place none more so than Jericho, the place of the curse. The prophet Isaiah could also say, the Lord was ready to save me. My friend, there's a readiness with the Savior. There's a readiness for the Savior to meet you at the very point of your need. There's a readiness with him to save you from your sins. Why? Because he has accomplished the work that was needed for your salvation, even the giving of himself on that old Roman gibbet. The price has been paid. Even the shedding of his atoning blood. I wonder what is going to be your reaction to the call of the gospel this evening as you have Christ presented before you again. But you'll also consider further that these words, there is a remaining of Christ to be noted. The remaining of Christ to be noted. You see, I draw your attention to the closing words of verse 5 as he called unto Zacchaeus. He says there, for today I must abide at thy house. Even though the children's storybook may look upon this as the Savior inviting himself into the home of Zacchaeus, the meaning is far greater than that. When you consider the little word abide, Zacchaeus, I must abide at thy house. It gives a sense to remain. And what the Lord was really saying was that he had come to remain in his heart. And dear loved one, that is what the Lord does in salvation. When there is a receiving of Christ, he comes in and he abides. He remains in the life. He remains in the heart of the repentant sinner. And so while in a short time the Savior would leave Jericho altogether, for he was on his way to the cross, he was on his way to Golgotha's brow, yet he would still remain in the heart of Zacchaeus. And that's the sense of what he meant. And of what he said. And he does so by the power of his Spirit. The power of his Spirit, that Holy Spirit that was promised as a result of the work of Calvary. And so there's a sense in which the Spirit of God, he goes here, there, and yonder. He's seeking out those for whom Christ died. Yet he is omnipresent, and he yet abides in the heart of every child of God. And then we sang it earlier on, the Comforter abides within. He is not limited just to abiding in one heart. He's omnipresent as God the Father, God the Son is. But he abides, Christ abides within by his Spirit. And you know the mark of God abiding within a heart and within a life, it's evident as it was with Zacchaeus. For when Christ came in, there's a convicting of sin. And this was true of this man. There was an evidence here of a sensitive spirit where before there was none. He desires to put things right. And you have it in the words of verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Here's a verse whereby we know that Zacchaeus was a Jew. He was a Jew because he knew God's word. He knew God's law. And he feels the force of that law, for he states that if he had taken anything from any man by false accusation, he wasn't denying it. The little word if doesn't mean he was denying that he ever did that, but it means he couldn't recall it if he had or not. But if he had, he was going to put it right by restoring to that man fourfold. Where did he ever get that thought? You see, he got it because that was what the law of God states back in Exodus chapter 22 in terms of the sheep being stolen. And that was what the law demanded. And when Christ comes into a heart, then there's a change. There's a sensitivity of the heart where before there is not. There's a conviction of sin where before there is not. And there's a change for the good. And that change is seen with this man, for he was prepared to give away half of his goods. Don't forget, he was a rich man. You see, now we are dealing with a man who has a liberality, a generosity about him. Where before there was a time that that's all he lived for. He lived for his riches. He lived for his possessions. But now he's changed. I'm saying to you, when God by His Spirit abides within a heart, there's evidence. Tell me, is there evidence in your heart that that has happened? Search your heart. Are you still one that takes up the hymn book and you can't sing? No joy in your heart over God's salvation. You can't sing. You can't say a little word in season. But God's God by His Spirit is not within. Maybe you're depending on a false profession tonight. That troubles me. I believe there's many throughout our churches depending on a false profession. In some emotion, the work of grace was never done. Men and women, when God by His Spirit comes in, He abides and there's the change. And the change was evident with this man, Zacchaeus. Christ has entered into his heart and life. And what the Lord did for Zacchaeus, He can do for the sinner tonight. But understand, you know, there's such a thing, not only of the remaining of Christ, but there's such a thing as the rejection of Christ. For when the Pharisees and the people saw that the Lord was gone to the house of Zacchaeus, they murmured, saying that he had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. You just take that little word, guest. And we begin to understand there are other occasions in which Christ was rejected. Let me bring you to one of them. Let me bring you back to Luke's Gospel. Don't even have to leave the book. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And there, I'm going to bring you to a verse where the same word is found. I'm thinking about the word guest here. That was the murmur. He's gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. And you'll say to me, preacher, I don't see the word guest. No, you don't. But you see, the word in is the same word. It's exactly the same. It was a lodging place. It was a guest chamber, we might say. And yet when the Savior of the world came before this inn, there was no welcome for him. He was rejected. He was turned away. Instead of being received, he was rejected. Instead of remaining, he was forbidden to enter. My friend, so is the reaction of all men concerning the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they either receive it and Christ comes in and Christ abides and remains, or else they reject it and Christ is barred from entering into the life and entering into the heart. And I wonder tonight, is there a heart, as God's Spirit is striving with you, who by his grace will swing open your heart's door? And you'll swing it open tonight to the Savior. What's going to be your reaction to the presence of Christ, to the call in the gospel? You see the reaction here. But you know, I've got to go a little further, because there's also the recognition, having noted what the reaction of Christ was towards Zacchaeus, we also need to consider the recognition on the part of the one whom the Savior met with that day up the tree. And when we consider verse 6, then we see what Zacchaeus was to recognize, and I want you to recognize it tonight. There's a recognition of an opportunity. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Let's just deal with the opening words. It's obvious because we read that he made haste. There was an urgency in the part of Zacchaeus, having heard the Savior call unto him. Oh, we touched on the fact already that he had his interest aroused when he heard that the Savior was passing by that way, when he was going out of the city of Jericho. He wanted to see the Lord, and he made haste there. And unknown to him, he was being drawn by the cords of love. He was being drawn by the cords of grace to the very place where Christ would meet with him, at the foot of that tree. And then when we see that he made haste to come down out of that vantage point, then that is the proof that he was being drawn. The Holy Spirit was at work in this man's life. He understood that this was an opportunity that he couldn't miss. He recognized that the opportunity offered to him was but a short one, and soon the Lord would have gone from Jericho, and soon he would have passed away from it, and he would never be back there again. He would never return again. He had a limited time in order to meet with the Savior and to obey his call. And so do you, my friend, who are not saved tonight. You know, the Lord says in Genesis 6 and 3, my spirit will not always strive with man. Some of you think that God's Spirit will always strive with you and always give you the opportunity. But God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. And so how many other scriptures exhort the sinner to hasten and to have that urgency about their soul's salvation. The time is short. It's wrote in the back of your church tonight. Behold, now is the day of God's salvation. You'd also know those words. Of course, you're not to boast yourself of tomorrow, for you know it not what a day may bring forth. It all exudes of being hasty and urgency. Here was a man who understood that he had an opportunity. He recognized that. And you know, the time will come when the day of God's grace for your soul will be over, and therefore you ought to think upon the opportunity that God has given you again in the gospel tonight. God's Spirit stops striving with you. You're as good as hell. You're as good as being in hell. But for the mercy of God. Room for business, room for pleasure, the only room for Christ. This man recognized there was an opportunity. This man also recognized a need for humility. For understand the words of verse 6 state that he came down. Having heard the call of the Lord, he made haste to come down from where he was. He was in that lofty position. It was symbolic of the sort of position that he held in life. This was the chief among the publicans. It was no small feat for this wee man to get up into that tree. But he had to come down. We know of also, he was a rich man. But he had to come down. And yet he recognized that from his position of power and influence, there needed to be humility. He needed to empty himself. He needed to fall at the feet of the Savior. And so it is with the unconverted. There's no room for pride. There's no room for an exalted position before the one who is high and lofty and who inhabiteth eternity. There has to be a humbling in recognition that of ourselves we are sinners and we are guilty in the sight of a holy God. There's nothing of merit in any one of us before God, and we deserve nothing but the wrath and the judgment of God against sin. The humility that is required is after that which is displayed by the other publican in Luke chapter 18, where he recognized that he was nobody and he was nothing. And all that he could do was cry out that God would be merciful to him, and that on the grounds of the sacrifice that had been offered in the temple. For in effect, it really means, God be propitious to me, the sinner. On account of the sacrifice and the bloodshed, turn away thy wrath. I tell you, there's humility. But then you'll see that the recognition was also of the necessity to receive Christ. It's like verse 6. And he made haste, and he came down and received him joyfully. He came down to receive him joyfully. Again, this is describing something more than just being physical. He recognized his need to receive Christ by faith. It's the same word that is used in John 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In other words, that day, Zacchaeus was to receive Christ into his heart. And when the Lord comes into a heart, it is to stay. Zacchaeus was never to be the same again. We have noted the recognition with Zacchaeus. I wonder, have you yet got to that place where you recognize that those are the same things that I need to do if I'm ever to be saved and delivered from sin and the damnation that it warrants? That there is a need for me to receive Christ by faith, to humbly avail myself of God's opportunity of grace for my soul, while God's Spirit is striving within. Are you there yet? Recognition. If you don't recognize those things, sinner, you'll never be saved. Never. You don't recognize that you are one mass of sin before God and that you need a sin bearer, you'll never be saved. You need to receive Christ by faith. And one final thought, it is the reception. This little man, Zacchaeus, was to take this opportunity as the Savior passed by. And we know that to be the case because of what the Savior said in his house. I draw you to verse 9. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. You see that he was one who was accepted by God. For the Lord said, this day is salvation come to this house. The Lord had not only entered into the house, but into his heart, and Zacchaeus was accepted. He did not come to Christ in vain, for the Savior said he also was a son of Abram. And what is meant by those words is not merely that he belonged to the family of Abram after the flesh. We already know that he was a Jew. He was a son of Abram after the flesh. But there was a time that he didn't know Abraham's God. And you know, the Apostle Paul reminds us that there were those who were Jews after the flesh, but they weren't Jews inwardly. I find that in Romans 2. Let me read to you just two verses, verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Those Jews, they were outwardly Jews, but they weren't inwardly. They didn't know Abraham's God. They had never experienced the spiritual circumcision. But here are words that inform us that Zacchaeus was accepted as a son in the spiritual family of Abraham. Now he's part of God's family. He also is a son of Abraham. And so it is for all who seek Christ for salvation. The moment that salvation enters into the heart, then we too become a son or a daughter of Abraham in the spiritual sense. He is known as the father of the faithful. Do you know what it is to be accepted by God tonight? You see, if we're part of Abraham's seed, then we're saved. We're in God's family. And we can be accepted by God tonight all because of another. All because of Christ. He was accepted. And then you'll also see the assurance of his reception. The Savior has already said to him when he was up that tree that he must abide at his house. The Lord was giving him the assurance that he would not be cast out. And when the Savior entered in there, neither would he ever leave him nor forsake him. What an assurance that is, that through life's journey from earth to glory, the Lord assures his own redeemed that he will never leave us. That he will abide forever with us by the power and by the indwelling of his Spirit. Tell me, do you have any such assurance tonight of God's salvation, of Christ dwelling within? For as we consider the reception that Zacchaeus was to enjoy, it does lead us to consider the announcement that Christ was to make in light of all that had happened that day. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. I began by telling you we're dealing with some very simple gospel text. There it is. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. My friend, and you see the title that is used in that verse, that title is only used of Christ, the Son of Man. He came to represent man because if he was ever going to redeem lost mankind, then he had to become man, and he became man so that he would die for man. He was the God-man on that cross. And that is what Christ announces, for the Son of Man has come, or the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And by inference, Zacchaeus was that lost soul, as every son of Adam's race is without God's salvation. And yet the Savior came that way, passing through Jericho, so that he would be found of him. He came seeking and he came to save him. He didn't seek in vain because he already knew where he was. He already knew what tree he was up. He stopped and he looked and he called him unto himself. And that was the day that Zacchaeus was to be converted and he was to be born again of God's Spirit and he was changed never to be the same again. The evidence of what Christ had done was plain for all to see. The evidence that Christ had entered with the assurance that he would abide is revealed to us in these verses. And dear sinner, that is what Christ can do for your life tonight. Be assured that once Christ saves, he'll never leave. He will not leave you short of that eternal home and inheritance that he has promised in his word. That, by the way, does not give you or any one of us any license, a license to live whatever way we like. Backsliders, you'd not take any comfort in that because you're far away from the Lord. You have left off with God. If you're truly saved, your desire will be to walk with God. But I'm saying to you, I'm underlining to you, that when God does the work, he abides within. And that was true of Zacchaeus. Salvation is all of the Lord. And because Christ went all the way to the cross, and because he laid down his life and became sin for us, and finished the work which was acceptable in God's sight, then that means that you can be found tonight. And you can know God's salvation tonight. You can be saved tonight. You see, Christ's purpose was fulfilled that day when he passed through Jericho. For his action meant that Zacchaeus was sought, he was found, he was saved. It is my prayer that Christ's purpose for this meeting tonight might also be that you, sinner, are sought, found, and saved for God's eternal glory. What's going to be your response? Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. You know, my friend, whether God has been speaking to your heart or not, you know whether you're saved or not. I don't believe in giving emotional appeals. God will do his work. Well, I want you to remember this. Soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart be cold and silent. What a fearful place to be in. God has given you an opportunity now. You can seek him where you are tonight. If you need help, I'm here for you. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word. We thank the Lord for the purpose that is revealed to us in going to Jericho that day. We thank the Lord you had planned all out, even where you met with Zacchaeus, as you called him down. And as I did us to abide not only in his house but in his heart. This day is salvation come to this house. Lord, I pray that those words might be written over this house tonight. Thou wilt seek, thou wilt find, thou wilt see the sinner. For we thank the Lord that that's the purpose of Christ coming. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Lord, I tell you tonight, there are those in this meeting house and they're lost. They're perishing. They're going to hell. And we fear, Lord, lest there be some of those who have no concern. Their heart is already cold and silent. Have mercy. Lord, speak tonight. And the preacher's voice is silent. Bring souls to Christ by thy Spirit. Part us in thy fear. And with thy blessing, we pray in Jesus' precious name.